Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 103, part 2, Our Consolation is in Christ. Today is Sunday, June 28th, 2009. Thank you for joining us today. The month of June, the most beautiful month in the year. Absolutely gorgeous in Minnesota. Come to Minnesota. Well, you don't have to come to Minnesota to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue, located at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to visit us online, too, at www.pastorpaul.org. Did I say that right? Let me say it again. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to help support our urban mission operations. We need your support, so help us out. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, our store, where you can purchase our supplement, Protandim. Everybody should be taking Protandim, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to go online, www.pastorpaul.org, and check out and join our online community. Also, when you go to the blog, you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. At the blog, you're going to find interactive links to the scriptures that are within Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to go there. Be sure to visit me at Hearts of Fire, the Janine Sherry podcast, coming soon. So thank you for joining me, and be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's message. There are two parts. The first part is on Friday evening. The second part is on Sunday. So have a great month, and we'll see you back here. God bless you.
Well, we'll pick up our little one, and this is one that loves me. Daddy loves you. Mommy loves you. And the kid's screaming, no, Lana! Yeah, is there help? Isn't there no help anywhere? Doesn't anybody love me? Doesn't anybody care? No, they don't. They are too busy trying to console themselves. Hey, you receive the truth, and the truth will set you free. Say amen, somebody. Try to act like we're something outside of God. Point people to Jesus. So-and-so got a raise. I've been here for 15 years. I know I'm speaking to somebody. I've been here 15 years, and they got a raise over me. I wouldn't care, but if it would have been anybody else, and they want you to console. What do you want me to do? Give you money? Pay the extra? I can't do anything about it. No, you enter in. Yeah, he is a rat. You're right. This is unfair. Sure is. But what can you do? Huh? Can you console your little kid when he goes to school and everybody turns on him? I remember when I was a kid. And in that town, particular city I was in, they didn't have any blacks or Hispanics or anything. They had Greeks. They had a few Greeks. And the rest of them was all, you know, whatever. I don't want to get into this. And so they chased me home with stones. Greasy Greek, greasy Greek, greasy, greasy, greasy Greek. And they chased me all the way home. Grease ball. And they just had on. They were pelting me with rocks and everything. And I went and I said, Dad, they called me a greasy Greek. They called me all these things. I'm not that, am I? Dad said, put on your apron. There's customers waiting out there. A lot of help you are. My dad had a lot of wisdom. Mom, guess what they did? Haven't you got your apron on yet? Ooh, how many hearing this? Oh, I hope Holy Spirit helped me to get it across today. There is no consolation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. But are you tired and troubled today? Isn't it comforting to know that you had one that came in the same nature as you are? But now I have to ask one thing here today. Don't you believe that Christ can readily relate to all your problems? Don't you know that the rivers that you're passing through, He went through? And now I have to ask this question. Are you ashamed to suffer what your master suffered? Shall a disciple be above his master and a servant above the Lord? Shall he die upon the cross, and will you not even bear one? Must he be crowned with a crown of thorns, and you with dandelions and flowers round about? Is he to be pierced in his hands and feet, and you do not feel any pains within your members at all? Throw out such a delusion. Throw it out. Throw it out. Throw it out. I don't care what positive thinking you want to get into. And look to him who endured the cross, despising the shame. And not only be ready, but be willing and happy to endure and suffer even as he did. The Bible says, Jesus says, these things that you see me do, you will do, and even greater things you will do. You're going to be able to suffer for a friend? Die for a friend? Now then, behold your master's humility clothed, even as ours. Even as ours, I said, since the fall. Not a purple robe. Not a prosperity covering. But ordinary clothes at one time, carpenter's clothes. Bib overhauls. From gold dust to sawdust. You in poverty, view him. Don't look to be consoled. Don't look for consolation outside, out there in that world. Hey, I'm poverty, and I'm you know, look at here. I got a hole in the back of my pants, and I got run over with shoes. There is no consolation out there in the world. None. You have to look to Jesus, who went through all that poverty. He had no place to lay his head. Oh, that's easy. Sure. How about all them rich guys? They have not got it so easy, let me tell you. No, they haven't. They've got a little more. Look at the Kennedy family, how they've suffered. Look at the millionaires over and the people with all the money, how they suffer. They don't sleep at night. They don't know Jesus. They don't sleep at night. They don't eat right. They got high blood pressure. All their kids hate them. I mean, have they got any consolation? Is there consolation in the billfold? I had money. And the fatter it got, the more uncomfortable it got, my billfold, because I couldn't sit straight. I would rock over on them. Whoops. You end up having to have two twin billfolds and load them up the same. Twin draw McGraw. You know, you got to have them right in the back there so that you wouldn't roll over or tip over and fall into the garbage can. It's not with money. It is not consolation to have a lot of money. That's not the consolation prize. Consolation is Jesus Christ. And Christians, if you don't know that yet, then there's something lacking. And you know, consolation is not the boob tube. Consolation is not, tapes, even gospel tapes. Oh, I'll put on a tape. That'll console me. And what are they playing? You won't get no consolation, huh? And it's not going to great huge concerts. And it's not coming to church. And it's not dressing up and parading into the church with the Bible under your arm, coming to church. It's not any of those things. It's seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one. Have you bought a new car? Everybody, come on up, see my new car. You stand there looking at it, looking around. See all the gadgets in there? And they're standing out here talking. Yeah, well, how's it going? And they're standing on the side of your car. And look at this. They're not paying any attention. Hey, take a look at this gadget here. Oh, yeah, we had one like that. I like this car and everything, but I've been thinking about getting something a little bigger, you know what I mean? Or something a little smaller or something like that. That car didn't do it, did it? And so the woman goes down and she does a whole lot. I know. I'll just go down and do a whole lot of shopping. So she buys all kinds of clothes and shoes and hats, and all kinds of frilly, pretty little things. The husband goes out and buys one of these great big CB outfits. And he wants to get consolation out of that. And they drive him nuts on that thing and the whole family. Huh? And none of those things work, do they? I know, if I could just work for God. And so then we get into working for God. We even get into preaching. We find out that after we start preaching, the only consolation is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other kind of consolation. Did you hear that? There is none. I'm sorry, but there is none. Nope. There is none. And so people right now listening on the radio, maybe even sitting here, are meaner than hell itself because they found they're trying to get consolation out of something and they ain't coming. But you don't understand. If he would only change, or she would only change, or they would only change. I think I'll quit the church. If they'd all change and be like me, I don't get no consolation here. Nobody shakes my hand after church. Nobody does. I don't see no love in there. Huh? You are not going to get any. In fact, God will steer people away from you. Because all you'll do is take up a whole lot of time. You ever seen a person that's always crying the blues? Don't they take up a lot of time? And they go from one place to the next place and they shuffle in looking for consolation. How's it going? Oh, God. They got the slump. Shuffle, you know what I mean? They slump their shoulders and they shuffle. And they walk in. They're looking for consolation. Oh, if I don't get some consolation. Oh, if these people, you'll get into that. George will not be your consolation. Sherry will not be your consolation, George. I just thought I'd give you a little marriage counseling while I'm going by here. Okay? Won't work. You'll end up being doubly miserable. You think you're miserable now? But if you both seek the Lord, it'll work out. After a while. In due season. No consolation outside of the Lord. None. People can't give it to you. Could you just talk to me for a little while about my mate? Oh, could you? I mean, I love her, or I love him. I love him dearly, but here's all the things. They pull out a great big scroll, you know. And what I say, it seems to me like God has blessed you with a job that no one else could handle, and he foreknew that you'd be able to do it. Get on with it. You need those trials. That guy's full of them. And you're going to be tempted to brain him. But are you ashamed to suffer what your master suffered? Are you? Your consolation, people, I'm talking to poverty people. Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but I have not where to lay my head. And that was God. How about the 40-day fast? I think we have some comforts he never had. Look at him, you hobos that are listening on the radio today. You street people out there. You poverty wage people. Now, what do you mean by poverty? I mean there are people that are poorer making wages than people that are on welfare. That's hard too. I'm not saying it isn't hard. But I'm saying there is a class of people right now that they could be making $10, $12, $15 an hour, and they are in poverty. So where's their consolation?
Getting mad at the welfare people. Who? Huh? Were the welfare people getting mad? Getting mad over there. Those guys making $15 an hour.
No, there's no consolation in arguing back and forth. Consolation is in God. There's only one consoler, and that's Jesus. How many hearing his message today? You know what? When we learn that, we're going to be a whole lot happier. We're going to be able to take things as they come and say, praise God, he went through all this. Now let's move on from the poverty to that scene of shame. Yes, Jesus. When you had your garments torn off your body, when you were nailed to the cross. Now let's come to see him at Gethsemane. A heart so full of love it spilled over. So full of sorrow that it must find vent. Behold, it says, drops of blood came off his body, sweat blood. See him now brutally beaten. Bloody, ragged garments with dust mixed with the blood. Now, how many of you know what a fight is when they're out in the, you get 15, 16, 17 years old and the playground is all dust. And you get all blood. Then all the dust mixed with the rags and the blood. That's what it was like. All bloody and all dusty and all torn and ears torn and eyebrows missing and the beard torn out in patches. Loosened teeth. See the cat on nine tails beat him over and over and over and over. And here's one right here, a little cat of nine tails. See here? It gets this whip, comes down like this, and it's got all these little barbs on the end. Oh, what sorrow. Has there been ever any to match it? Now look at him as he lifts his head. He says, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? God humbled on the cross for you and me. And finally he shouts, it's finished! Oh, that must have sent heaven to rocking and a reeling. What a consolation prize. A total finished ransom price. Shouldn't that bring joy and peace and power to all of us? And just think, it was prophesied and it was fulfilled to the very letter. I am fully persuaded that people I think if we sit more at the cross of Jesus Christ, the less troubled we'd be with our doubts and our fears and our woes. We have to see his sorrows and lose our sorrows. We have to but see his wounds and heal our own. And if we would live, it must be in contemplation of his death. If we would rise to dignity, it must be in considering his humiliation and his sorrow. Consider Christ. Don't consider yourself. You ever tried to sit down and consider yourself? There isn't a whole lot to consider, is there? How many have sat down to consider themselves? I have. What's there to consider? And even as you say all these nice things about yourself, you know they're a lie. And even when people go ahead and they agree with you, well, you know I'm a nice guy. And the guy says, well, you sure are a nice guy. And you know I've always done right with the person or persons. You know I've always tried my very best. Yes, you've been nice to people and you've always done right in the sight of God and man. Yes. But see, you know different. Now consider yourself honestly. And you'll find out there is very little to consider. 10 toes, 10 fingers, 2 eyes, ears. And all that you have to offer Christ is your sins. Your debtors. And your consolation is that he receives them and he's forming Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are being made Christ-like every day by not considering yourself, but considering Jesus.
But now come, troubled ones, and follow the dead body. Jesus' dead body. For though it's dead, it is full of consolation as much as it were alive. It is no more naked because the loving hands of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and Madeline and the other Mary have wrapped it and have laid it in a new tomb. So come, but don't weep. Dry your tears. You have all your life feared death, and he rose from the dead. Look, the stone is rolled away. And after visiting the disciples, he rose to the right hand of God the Father. Follow him now. Because he lives, you live also. I want you to hear me, devil, and hear me good today. Christ Jesus is my consolation, my only consolation, and what's yours? What is the devil's consolation? He has none. You look at here, devil, God has received the blood, the perfect atonement. We are seated with him even now, hidden in Christ and God. We're seated with God, hidden in Christ and God. See that? So you people listening today, lift yourself up from the dunghill. Shake off the dust. Isn't this your consolation, all that's already been done? Is he not our today, our eloquent and earnest pleader? Doesn't he plead for you yet? Doesn't he prevail with God yet on your account? Because when God smiles on Christ, he smiles on us. Isn't that enough consolation? When we think of these things, when we could become Christ-centered, when we get off of ourselves, when we stop to consider ourselves and we start to consider Jesus Christ. Let me say this, and it's getting close. He that has gone up into heaven shall come in a like manner. And it's right around the corner. He ascended in the clouds. Behold, he cometh in the clouds, the Bible says. He went on high with the sound of the trumpet and with the shout of angels. And behold, the Bible says he cometh. And that silver trumpet shall soon sound again. Its midnight hour is right around the corner, and its midnight hours are rolling wearily along, and the virgins wise and foolish are asleep, glory to God, and there's an end to all this, but the cry shall soon be heard, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye forth to meet him.
And that same Jesus who was crucified shall come in glory. That hand that was pierced shall grasp the scepter and shall wear the crown of all crowns. It says that his feet shall tread upon the Mount of Olivet, and his people shall be gathered in the valley of Jehoshaphat, and the world's greatest battle is about to begin even now, and we're looking at people holding hostages all over, and World War III, and the final battle of Armageddon is about upon us even now as we speak. And the world's greatest battle, the last battle, is almost here. The trumpet then will signal the start of the battle of Armageddon. Also, people, remember that within a twinkling of an eye, we shall be lifted and changed, and then we shall know the full and to the full how Christ can console you. Isn't that a consolation? All your sorrows and all your shame and all the neglect which you have received from the hand of men are nothing, because you'll know Him, because you'll become like Him. Your eyes shall see Him, oh my God, such a consolation. Now to close this message, let's look at Christ Jesus in His unchanging nature, a consolation for our continual sorrows. Psalm 38 and 3 through 5 and verse 3 starting. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, when God's mad at you. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sins. So to start with, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, mental depression. So many right now are in mental depression. It tells upon the bodily frame. Learn when you see someone that has a mental depression. Their whole body looks different. The eyes look different. The ears even hang. The face starts to hang. The body has the wilt droop. They're in depression. There is a world right now, and many Christians that are suffering the very thing that I'm talking about right now, a mental depression. Oh, their only consolation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that depression can create and foster every other disease. Because I believe that depression is one of the very worst sicknesses, and I mean one of the most painful of all the diseases. I remember some years back when I was in a fit. I wasn't born again. And I had a terrible depression. And I could not get out of it. And this soul sickness started to tell on my whole frame. Well, I only weighed about 126 pounds. All I was a hank of hair and a big nose and a skinny. I was so skinny I turned sideways, you couldn't even see me. And it started to tell on my whole frame, and it weakened my whole body, and it reacted upon my whole mind. And it was that one drop of divine anger that set my whole body into misery. You Christians, listen to this. Then it goes on, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. And now it even goes deeper into the bones. You ever done something and then your bones ache? You just get up in the morning and your whole body aches? I mean, your whole body aches. It goes deeper. It goes into the more solid parts of the body. They are affected, and there'll be no rest until Jesus consoles you. That sense of sin creates in the conscious and in the conscience a horrible unrest. How many know what I'm talking about here? That horrible unrest. Thine anger, my sin, we're talking about. We are like an anvil then with two hammers. Boom, 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 huh? Lord's anger and my sin. And then verse 4, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. You ever cried that out? I talked to a foursome. It was about 10 years removed in another city. Or maybe it was six of them. And they were constant companions of one another. They were young people, and they were always constant companions of one another. And they got into trouble. They started to console one another. They weren't turned on to Jesus. They were turned on to consoling one another and getting into little things, and pretty soon they were in trouble. And they angered God, and they had they were caught in between God's anger and their own sin, and nobody was sleeping. They called me on the phone. Here's the story, and here's the mess that we've got ourselves into. I guess I just watched too many of those soaps. I guess I listened too many times to that one song. Oh, Ruby, don't take your love to town. And they get to thinking the Ruby. Oh, Ruby, huh? And so by the music, and so by the infractions brought about by the world, and so by not seeking out Jesus, hallelujah, and I know I'm speaking to somebody on their radio, they got themselves into trouble. How many are hearing this? Oh, Holy Spirit, move on us if there's a sickness in here and a sickness out there. Something that's wrong. The double hammer on the anvil. The anvil being you. Oh, God, I tell you. Verse 5, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Now, I wasn't even born again. I know what these verses say right here. I do. You start to stink. You can't take enough baths. Now, maybe it's just in its nucleus stage. Maybe this, maybe it's in a choir at some big church. Maybe it's the, whatever, and that goes on all the time. So maybe it's something over here, or something over there, or on your job, or where you're at right now, or in the neighborhood. Don't look for consolation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Don't be foolish. Don't even play with such ideas. And so this man called me. This again is way back, I wouldn't mention it. Caught up, this is some 5-10 years ago, I don't know, a lot of them have called me with this problem. Caught up in an adulterous situation. And I said, read this to the body, and it'll be a sad picture. My wounds stink and are caught and are corrupt because of my foolishness. It says, your whole body is suffering right now. You're aching right down to your bones, and I know how that is. But then read it to the soul that's had the light of the Holy Spirit searching it. God is after you. Your sin has found you out. You can't take enough baths, right? Yes, yes, yes. Have you seen yourself in your own unworthiness and the depravity and then your own vileness? Well, then you're going to have to cry out like David and complain about the burdens being too heavy. And I said, praise God for it, because a spiritual complaint is a mark of a spiritual life. Only Jesus can console you. I said, you can cry on this phone all night, brother, but I can't console you. Jesus is the one. And they were just racking with tears. He was just, howling like an animal over the phone. Gasping for air. Gasping. Sit down, honey. Gasping. Sit down. Gasping for air. Do you ever cry like that where you're gasping for air? And you couldn't catch your breath? Gasping over the phone! Well, I said, brother, I can relate with you, but I cannot console you. I can give you Psalm 88 and 8 and 9. In verse 8 it says, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared my reason of my disquietness of my heart. I have, it's saying, I have become cold like a corpse. I remember when I would get into fits of depression, I could sit down for hours and sit in a chair like this and just sit there, and I'd get to thinking to myself, you know, I wonder if I could move. I don't think I could even move right now. How many has ever done that? Huh? And you're sitting there and you think, I don't know, maybe I can't move. Maybe I'm dead and I'm sitting here. Huh? But I even feel cold. Huh? Now maybe this, you're thinking this is a little bit weird, but hey, we're dealing with spiritual things here today. I have become cold like a corpse. This is what he was crying out. I says, is that what you become like? I said, where sin is, there is no quietness of heart. Are you just telling me this to alleviate your conscience, or you'll go right back into the same thing again? Because I said, an unquiet heart will always produce miserable effects, miserable effects. Feebleness of your body. Does your body feel like it's kind of feeble right now? Yes, yes. Does your body and your mind feel like it's dejected right now? And is there a roaring voice inside? And he said, well, how can a feeble body roar? I said, it's an inward howling almost like an animal. And I says, let me explain to you how it works. There is that sin. There is that God anger. There is that spiritual lapse. And I says, you want to cry out right now, and you want to moan out right now, and you don't know how to do it. I says, I'll tell you how I howled. Oh! That's exactly how I went. It was not intelligible. But it came from the inside. Are you hearing this? He said, well, you belong in the mental ward. Well, of course I did. That's what they think. They think they take people and put them in mental wards and they'll be all right. And they put them with a whole bunch of other people that are mentals. And even the doctor that's surveying them is a mental. And they're all mentals. Everybody's a mental. Outside of Jesus, you're all mentals. But anyway, I showed him how to have a release. I said, you have a release like this. Oh, God, I am sorry, help me. So he received the message, and he started crying out. Next thing I heard was click, brrr. There is no consolation outside of Jesus Christ. None. I know it, and I knew it before I was even born again. I did, in a way. An unrest in your heart will always produce miserable effects, I told him. He howled. Verse 9, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. Don't hide it. Secret tears for secret sins, I believe, are excellent. They're a sign of a holy heart and a healing medicine for the broken spirits. Lord, all my desire, it says, is before thee. Lord, even if they be unuttered, they are yet perceived. God reads the longings of our heart, and nothing can be hidden from him, absolutely, positively nothing, because he understands all things. The good physician then, in closing here, understands the symptoms of all of our diseases, and so our groanings are never hid from the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes you can be groaning without even making one word. There is a groaning in your spirit. Once in a while it'll come out and you'll say, oh. Someone will say, what'd you say? I say, oh, nothing. Now, man came to me the other day and he said, well, hey, I'm a backslider. And I said, listen, Jesus doesn't send you back. He's married to you. He doesn't believe in divorce. He hates it, the Bible says. Another man came to me, but see, I'm really a good man. I hear people say that all the time, and I believe I'm a good man. I want to follow that doctrine. I'm kind, and I'm generous, and I'm charitable, and I'm upright, and I'm holy. I have a few faults, but then it's only a very few, don't you see? And I said, you're going to have to stop trusting in your own merits, or Christ's consolation is not for you. Christ will not have anything to do with you as long as you have anything to do with yourself. He paid the price. About that time, the guy's eyes were just bugging right out of his head. And I said, what have you got to pay up with but your life? And that was even given to you in the first place. The invitation then is, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come now, Christ is the only consolation. In him and in him only will you find any kind of consolation, and it is nowhere else. You'll never find it anywhere else because it does not exist. Period. Case closed. You can't find it in a friend, and you can't find it in an extra situation with another man or woman, and you can't find it in the pastor, and you can't find it in the teacher, and you can't find it in a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and you can't find it in any kind of a group, because your consolation is in Jesus Christ, period. And so for all the sad faces that are listening to me on the radio, there is no consolation outside of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you one thing. When Jesus consoles, he knows how to do it. All these other things are of the flesh, and they end up in dead ends. So if you have been contemplating looking for some kind of another consolation, some kind of another prize, some kind of another little goodie for yourself. Hey, I've been religious for 2 weeks here, and I've just been reading the Bible. It's about due for me to go out and look for a little consolation to all this work that sits. How many know there's no consolation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ?
None.
Is there anyone here that will say that their mate is their consolation? Oh. Huh? Anybody? There is none. Glory to God. See Jesus only. If there's anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior, you can have him today. Today. Anybody? Maybe you have never met the Lord as your personal Savior. You can do that today. Anybody? Anybody? Are you all born again here? Born again, honey? Are you born again? Okay, I don't know everybody, so you got to ask. Got to have the invitation. Are you born again? Are you born again, honey? Is there anybody that doesn't know for sure? Because it says that in its 30 seconds, you must confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then thou will be saved. That's as simple as that. It isn't being a good Lutheran or a good Catholic or going to church, or your mother can't get you in. She cannot give you the consolation prize, Jesus Christ. Nothing can save you. Your grandma could pray, and all the folks know him, do you no good. There's no consolation outside of the Lord. None. Isn't that right, brother? Isn't that right, honey? None. Oh, here I was trusting in so-and-so to console me. I was going to give him a call and say, have you got a word for me? Have you? I just need so much consoling. I want someone's shoulder to cry on. And that isn't all wrong. but it isn't all right either. Are you born again, honey?
So if you're teen, a teen.